Go with me to James chapter 1. We'll read verses 21 through 25. James 1, 21 through 25. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. We don't really talk like that. It's talking about wickedness and overflowing wickedness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. So when he said receive the word, he's talking not just about hearing it, but doing it. Receiving the word, and not just hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or we'd say a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But when he, or whosoever, looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, not just going and forgetting, but continuing in what the word says, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed, or doing, in other words. Hallelujah. Go also to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. And look at this. This was another text we used last time we were here. 2 Corinthians 3. And we looked at verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse number 18. We all, say we all means we all, with open face, that means unveiled face. From the context, Moses' face was covered when he came down off the mountain. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, like he said in James, the glory of the Lord. Notice what we're seeing when we look into this mirror. We're seeing the glory of the Lord. He said, beholding that, we're changed into the same image. What image? The glory of the Lord. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Yes. Praise God. You know, you actually start taking on the image of what you keep looking at. I had a parent one time come to me and say, I don't know why my daughter dresses the way she dresses. I said, I'll tell you, I don't even know her, and I'll tell you, you know, why she dresses the way she dresses, because of who she's looking at online. And sure enough, she had her favorite star that looked dressed just like she dressed. Amen. She turned into what she was looking at. Well, that went over like a... Amen. That's just the truth about it. But here he's talking about that principle, but he talks about it in the context of looking into the mirror of the Word of God. And that mirror shows us how God sees us. And do you want to know how he sees you? He sees you in Christ. Praise the Lord. He doesn't see you in the way you see yourself in the natural. He's not looking at your natural man. He's looking at you in Christ. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you, you and I, all of us, look better in Christ than we do in the flesh. We failed in the flesh at times. But in Christ, we are in the image of God. Praise the Lord. Now, if you read this carefully, both of these passages are talking about looking into a mirror. Looking into the mirror. What is the mirror? The mirror here is the Word of God. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And then James says, but don't just look into the mirror and then go away and forget, but be a doer of the word, telling us that the mirror was the Word of God. So when we look into the Word of God, we see ourselves. Now we see Jesus and God, we understand that, and that's what the Word is given. It's given to reveal God to us, given to reveal Jesus to us, the Holy Ghost to us. It's even given us to reveal the devil to us. Amen. So you know him as he is, defeated, already defeated. But it also gives you an image of who you are yourself, how God sees you. And he sees you in Christ according to the epistles. Amen. Amen. And so whenever you read the epistles, you'll find in Christ statements. In Christ, you know, like take Ephesians 1:3, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Yes, sir.
So he sees you already blessed.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Right? And then we read, you know, Colossians earlier, he sees us already delivered. He also sees us already healed.
Amen.
He sees us already made the righteousness of God in Christ.
Yes, sir.
He sees us as a new creation.
Yes, he does.
He sees us fully supplied.
Hallelujah.
Everything that the word says we are, he sees us that way. So he wants us to see ourselves the way he sees us.
Yes.
He sees us a certain way, but if we see ourselves a different way, then we're going to be in disagreement with God. We're going to say one thing, he's going to say something else.
Absolutely.
Well, if I'm saying something and God's saying something else, one of us is wrong.
Right. Right.
and so we got to decide who we're going to believe here.
Yes.
I highly suggest you believe God.
Believe God. Yes.
Amen. And if you see yourself a certain way, but the Bible says he sees you a different way,
Then
I suggest you align up your confession, your believing, with what he said.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Now, you'll help me a lot if you amen me a little bit more. So be careful when you read the word to not just look for God only, but look for yourself in Christ. The epistles are God's family photo album. They show us the family. They show us how God sees the family. And just like whenever grandma pulls out old photo albums over Thanksgiving or Christmas, and y'all looking through the family photo albums, You don't look for Uncle John and, you know, somebody else. You look for yourself because you're of your vanity. No, I'm kidding. I'm just, but no, you just look for you. Oh, my goodness, look at me, so young. And you see yourself. But
yes, you do.
But that's what you should do when you look through the epistles of the New Testament. Look for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Look for how God said he sees you. And you look better in the word than you do in the flesh.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Paul said, I just want to be known as a man in Christ. He saw himself and he liked the man he saw in Christ a whole lot better. So he said, that's just the way I want to know myself. I just want to know myself in Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, so the word of God carries an image in it. And the image of you is the image God has of you. Praise the Lord. You don't have to figure. Sometimes people say, well, I don't know who I am. God is the manufacturer of the new creation.
Yes.
And he's got all the information about what he created. And he knows you better than you know yourself. So just take his word for it and say, you know, this is who I am. Whenever even the world or the flesh or your own mind says something different. You can look at yourself in the flesh and get disappointed in yourself.
True.
Very Amen.
True.
But God's got somebody, he's got an image of you that's better to look at.
Yeah.
And this will solve all insecurity problems.
Come on.
You know what I'm talking about? All inferiority complexes.
Yes,
I told you before, maybe I've said it here, that I used to have an inferiority complex, and if somebody didn't like me, I felt terrible, like I wasn't up to par or something, you know. But when I got my mind renewed and somebody doesn't like me, I feel bad for them.
Absolutely. Come on.
Amen. Come on. You say, why would you feel bad for them? Because they're missing a great blessing.
A great blessing. Amen. Yep.
That's the truth about it.
Yeah.
Well, somebody said, you're kind of cocky, aren't you? Well, the same thing's true about you. You're a great blessing.
Right. Yes, sir.
That's true.
The Bible says he's blessed you to be a blessing.
So
you're a blessing. So tell your neighbor you're sitting beside a great blessing this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's an image in the Bible, and God wants you to get the image he has. Now, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, you know this passage. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of what?
Strongholds,
casting down what?
Imaginations.
Catch that word, imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every what?
Thought
to the obedience of Christ. So we've got thoughts, we've got mentioned in these verses, imaginations, and we've got strongholds mentioned here. Now, those are all in the mind. Those are not up in the heavenlies, those strongholds.
Right.
Didn't say there wasn't strongholds up in the heavenlies, but they got a right to be there. And somebody said, we need to pull them down. Well, Adam gave them a right to be there. But you and I can operate completely independent of them without them interfering, harassing, tormenting, hindering, or in any way keeping you from the blessings of God. Amen. That's why the Bible says he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemy. They're here. Amen. They're here. And so, but you can operate and enjoy what's on the table in the presence of all those things. Praise God. Now, he said thoughts, imaginations, and strongholds. He mentioned these, and these are things in the mind. Go down to the book of 2 Corinthians, just if you're there in the chapter 10, go down to the 11th chapter, verse number 3. Paul said, I fear lest by any means, talking to the church at Corinth, as the serpent beguiled Eve, or deceived Eve through his subtlety, that means craftiness, so your minds, say minds, should be corrupted from the what? Simplicity that is in Christ. So notice Satan wants to corrupt, that word corrupt means pollute our minds, corrupt our minds with wrong thinking. Amen. Some thoughts don't come from God. You have to realize that.
Yes,
some thoughts come from God.
Yeah.
Some thoughts come from just the natural world.
Right.
Like if you're driving down the road, you see a stop sign, the thought will come to you, I need to stop.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's just not from God or the devil. That's just from the natural world. Right? Some thoughts just come from the natural world. But some thoughts come from the enemy.
Yes, yeah. That is correct.
And there are forces of darkness in the atmosphere around us. The Bible calls Satan the prince of the power of the air. Mm-hmm. And those forces are there to pollute people's thinking.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Sometimes people want to fight the devil. Well, just start in your own thought life.
All right now, come on.
Amen. Yeah. Don't fight him out here in the air. Just start refusing his thoughts. Because that's what he's gonna do. He's gonna present thoughts to your mind.
Yes, sir.
And if you can gain control of your thought life, then you can win great battles.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Because he said here, the weapons of our warfare are not mighty, are not carnal, but they're mighty. And so one of those weapons is the truth of God's word that you and I can renew our mind to, so that when Satan comes with a thought against what God's word says, then we know the truth and we can answer that thought.
Amen.
Remember what Jesus said, take no thought saying.
Yes.
What are we going to eat? See, thoughts come, but you don't have to take them,
sure,
and you don't have to say whatever they're saying to you.
That's
but
Amen.
You can answer it like Jesus did in Luke 4. You remember whenever Satan came and tempted him, we have record of three of the temptation, but he was tempted for 40 days. And he kept saying, the Bible kept saying, he answered and said unto Satan.
Yeah.
He answered. Say it out loud. He answered.
He answered
and said unto Satan. And he gave, every time he gave what the word of God says.
Yeah.
Every time. And so take what Satan says and answer it with God's word.
Amen.
And those thoughts won't get in.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Those thoughts won't start dominating you. And replace Satan's thoughts with God's thoughts. Well, if you don't know what the word says, then you are at a disadvantage. Praise God, because you'll know the truth. And the truth you know will make you free.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. So, but these thoughts, they start out as thoughts, but if they are allowed to persist, they become imaginations. Do you know what I mean? In other words, it's not just a thought anymore. It's a way of thinking. It's a mentality. And that's what Satan wants to do. And that's what he has done in so many people's lives. Now, when we get born again, the Bible says one of the things we're to do once we get born again is be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what?
The renewing of the mind.
In other words, there's some things that got into our mind before we got born again that needs to be washed out and replaced with what God says. And our thoughts need to take on his thoughts about it. Remember, he said in Isaiah 55, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And then he said, as the rain comes down, the snow, and returns not thither, except it waters the earth and bring forth, that it might cause it to bring forth and bud, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It'll not return unto me void. It'll accomplish what I please, prosper from the thing I'd sent to it. So he said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. But then he said, I sent my word, which is my thoughts, down to you so that you can renew your mind with my thoughts.
Amen.
And replace your thoughts
Amen.
with my thoughts and learn to think my thoughts after me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is offering you his thoughts.
Yes.
Take them.
Yes,
take them. Don't take Satan's thoughts. That's why Jesus said, don't take thought from the enemy saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? See, whenever we said in the offering that we have a supply, when we know that, then we won't take a thought, say, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? We'll take thought from the word, say, I have a supply. I have a supply. So we take thoughts from the word of God. But if the thought from the enemy comes and we don't answer it, then it'll begin to not just be a thought, it'll become a mentality. Or he mentioned here, he called it an imagination. An imagination is something that is imagined to be true. I'm talking about on the negative side here. You can form strongholds for God's word in your mind and form the right imaginations. But when it comes to the wrong imagination, an imagination is something that is imagined to be true, but it's not really reality. Amen. I've had situations where, though, because in my younger years of development spiritually, I've had situations where I thought for sure that somebody that I highly respected didn't like me because of something that happened one time, and God sent a divine intervention and changed that to where I'm sitting there going, my goodness, I've been believing a lie for 2 weeks. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
how many of you ever found that out? Sometimes things can seem very real to you, but they're not reality.
That is so good.
That's called an imagination.
That's what it is.
And Satan works in those realms. Your mind is his playground if you let him. He's looking to harass you in your thought life.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Now, I didn't know I was going to go this way this morning, but here we go. Amen. One of the greatest needs of believers after they get born again is to renew their minds.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And how do you do it? You do it with the Word of God, taking God's Word and replacing your thoughts with His thoughts.
Yes.
If I think that I'm unworthy, but the Word of God says the blood of Jesus has made me worthy, then I got to take what the Word says and believe it and speak it. And answer the feelings of condemnation with what God's word says. Hallelujah. And that'll be a transformation that changes you. But notice he said thoughts. Thoughts that are undealt with become imaginations. And imaginations that are undealt with become strongholds. Y'all still understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about in the mind. Strongholds. I've worked with people who their own thoughts were so dominant that it was what you would call a stronghold. It was not anymore just a thought. It was something that was binding their mind. They could not think or talk any other way. I remember one other than what that stronghold told them to say. I remember one time, Pastor Debbie and I were living in a house today that we built. Oh, back in 2019, I believe, we built it using some people. You needed a general contractor. And I think it was one of the first general contractors we went to talk to, good Christian people. They love God, and we thought it'd be great if we could use some Christian people. But as we talked to him and his wife, we went to a meal with him. Went to their house, actually, I think, and talked to them. And everything, see, we're not traditional. We don't like, we don't want to live in a track home.
Yeah.
Everything we want is custom.
That's right.
I mean, that's just us. That's people want to live some other way. That's fine. Praise God. Whatever your joy is for, fine.
That's right.
Fine. But we wanted to build this custom. And it was so out of the box that we had trouble finding a contractor, So we went to him, this one guy and his wife, good Christian people, and we thought it'd be great to use Christian people. So we started talking to him, and everything we would say, well, you can't do that, that's real expensive.
Oh.
Well, you can't. So we'd bring up something, well, you can't do that, that's real expensive.
Yeah.
It didn't take me long. I'm sitting there making a mental note. It didn't take me to realize, okay, I'm done.
Yep. Yep.
This isn't him.
He's not the one.
Because he's got a stronghold in his mind, in his thinking. Everything that comes up, he just, well, that's too much money. Well, that's it. I thought to myself, I almost said to him, it's not your money, it's my money.
Right.
But I just hushed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Because I didn't want to create a scene. Besides that, he's my brother in Christ, right? But I just realized I can't use him. He's got a stronghold.
Right.
A stronghold of poverty. I don't want to fight my contractor the whole time I'm building the house.
No.
Amen. Amen. But see, people get these strongholds in different areas. His was in finances.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can have a stronghold of condemnation.
Come on.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Because of feelings that the enemy brings.
Right.
Feelings of shame. And memory of past failures. And the enemy just used that to just run. He'll run those past failures through your imagination on with a, like a video screen.
Yes.
And he'll just run it and run it and run it and keep you looking at it and looking at it and looking at it until it beats your faith to a bloody pulp. He's forming an imagination. Just like, see, Satan is not a... what would you call it? He's not creative.
No, he's not.
He just sees how God does things, and he imitates God.
Yeah. Right.
And God said in 2 Corinthians, what is that? 1 Corinthians, where it talks about, is that 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, where it talks about beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are changed. He said, I see how God works. He works by getting them to behold something. Keep on looking at something. And so he said, I'll just use that to my, I'll reverse it. And I'll use it against man, and I'll use it to my advantage and to their destruction. And I'll just run things on loop through their imagination that they imagine that are not really true, but are lies. And I'll just keep running it on loop, running it on loop.
Yep. Yep.
And you know why this is why some people are oppressed mentally?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
It's mental oppression. You ever heard of mental oppression?
Yes,
mental
sir.
Depression? So forth. A lot of this is because of people. They just keep imagining things. Satan just keeps bringing it through their mind like a video screen.
Yes, sir.
Past failures. He just keeps bringing it through. I had experience back a number of years ago. We have two people on staff that are, well, there's more than two, but the two I'm talking about, they're related through actually one of them married, they're watching this morning, one of them married the other staff member's daughter. And so they're related by marriage, but one of their relatives died. He was a Vietnam veteran, I believe, and saw a lot of horrific things. You know, some things no man should ever have to see. But saw a lot of horrific things and tormenting things and very, very, it really messed with his mind. You've heard about Vietnam veterans come back and they need help, you know, and so forth. How many of you know God's got the kind of, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty.
Yes.
God's weapons can deal with all of that.
Yes, they can.
To where it's gone, gone, gone.
Yes.
Gone like a devil in a tent revival, gone.
That's right.
I've been looking for a chance to use that statement. Hallelujah.
Right.
And where God, the power of God can make things like it never happened.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. The psalmist said, he restores my soul.
Yes.
He restores my soul.
Yes.
So, we're not on anything I was going to preach, but this is all good. but this man... This relative that I was telling you about from some of the people on staff, this man had seen a lot of things, and it traumatized his emotions, and he was, you know, Satan just kept bringing that to him, and he lived a very harassed life. In fact, he's on disability because of it. Through the military, they support those, and I'm fine with that. You understand? But I'm just simply saying, there's something more than, you know, supporting someone in that condition. There's called deliverance.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Where the mind is restored, and those imaginations are dealt with.
They're gone. That's
and they're replaced with the right imaginations.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
God hasn't made us a victim of anything Satan does. Of any traumatic experience, of anything somebody's seen. I remember, I'm going to finish that story, but I'm going to tell you another story.
Yes, sir.
A man in our congregation, young man, teenager actually. This is probably 15 years ago maybe. But in Cedar Rapids, the man that was in the youth group, he walked in. Now his mother and he came to church, But his father was out of fellowship with God and sort of, you know, struggled with a lot of emotional things. And I'm not making fun of that. I'm just talking about where he was so you can understand the story.
Yes, sir.
And so he wasn't in the Word, and he wasn't in church, and he wasn't getting the kind of help his wife was and his son. He was struggling with a lot of those things. And this young boy, I think at the time he was probably 15 maybe or something like that, years old. I'm just estimating. He came home one day, and I don't want to say it because we have children in here, but found his father had passed, you know, because of something he had done himself. You understand? I don't like to say that, but you understand, just to help you understand. And he came in on that. This young boy came in on that. He's the one that came into that room and saw this. And it harassed him, and the devil tried to start using that against him. And he was becoming very tormented and reclusive and closing in and not wanting to come to church, and the devil was trying to harass his mind. Except he was there one service. The youth were meeting over in another building. And they were having church service over there, the youth meeting over there. And at the end of our service in the main auditorium, I got an urge, not even realizing what the Holy Ghost was doing, but I just got a divine prompting, call the youth over here and have it, and lay hands on them. And I didn't even know what it was for. Lay hands on the youth, impartation, whatever, and just minister to the youth. So I had somebody through the radio over there, it was another building, and they came over. And we laid hands on the youth, and it was a glorious time, impartations, a lot of things. And a lot of them got up from the floor and we dismissed the service, except this one young man that I've had kind of not thought about the fact that he would be in the line, you know, but after he's already there, I'm like, oh, yeah, well, he's here. But he laid there. We dismissed the service, and he laid there for, I don't know, were you all there probably, was it a half hour, 20 minutes, something like that? He laid there for a long time. We're all dismissed, and I just had an usher sort of stand there and watch him. And you could tell he's gone. Yeah. What do you mean gone? I don't mean dead. I mean gone. He's in another place.
Yes, sir.
And he came back and collected himself, got himself together, and got up. And somebody said, do you need anything? And he didn't want to talk about it. And he didn't talk about it for probably, I forget how long, but eventually his mother came to me and said, I want to tell you what happened to him whenever you laid hands on him. I said, I'd love to know, and if it's all right with him. And she said, yeah, he said it'd be all right. He said, his mother said, he went to heaven. I don't mean die, but I mean he was taken to heaven in a vision. An angel escorted him to heaven, and he met Jesus, and Jesus talked to him for that period of time while he was up there. And while Jesus, I get chills just thinking about this. While Jesus was talking to him, his father walked up all radiant and glorious. And he saw his father in heaven. And it's because his father must have gotten saved somewhere back there. I don't know his story or his testimony where he got saved. But he's not lost spiritually. He's just tormented mentally. You understand the difference? See, we are spirit beings. And our spirits can be born again, but Satan still wants to harass this mind. We got to renew this mind so that it closes the door to him.
Yes.
And he had never done that, never gotten his mind renewed or started doing that, so Satan harassed him until he just said, I can't take it anymore. And so, but anyway, in this vision, Jesus is talking to this young man, and actually Jesus is talking to this young man about the call of God on his life. And what he must do because of the call of God on his life. And while he's talking, his father walked up in the glory, radiant and smiling, and said, son, I'm all right.
Hallelujah.
Now that's the mercy of God.
Yes.
I said, that's the mercy of God.
Yes.
That young man totally was changed.
Yes.
It totally transformed him. He got back into the fellowship with God, back into church, went to Bible school, graduated from Bible school. Last I heard, he's out in the ministry today. Because they moved to another city to go to Bible school and so forth. A lot of things changed. But the point I'm making is, see, I don't know what I just had that story come up in my spirit. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you this other story. I just wanted to tell that one, I guess, because that's a good story. But this other story, remember I told you about this relative that had been in Vietnam, of two people on staff in Cedar Rapids. This man was harassed and actually was on medications and what is it? What's that called? Huh? Yeah, but they're taking care of him from the military, helping him. But so anyway, he's never had gotten his mind. Now, he got born again because his relatives led him to Jesus.
Yes.
And they were inviting him to get into the things of God and get his mind renewed, trying to help him. And he never really responded to that. But he never really got into the Word, never really got into church or anything.
Yeah, right.
Now, that doesn't, you don't have to be saved. I mean, you don't have to go to church to get saved.
Right.
But if you want to live in victory down here in this life, it's going to take some renewing of the mind, you know.
Yes, sir.
And so he was born again, all right, but he just was walking in defeat in this area of how the enemy was tormenting his mind. You see, the devil's not playing games.
No,
he wants your thought life.
Yes, sir.
He wants to dominate your thought life. He'll offer you thoughts so that you can take those thoughts and think them after him. And if you keep on thinking them, they'll form an imagination and get a hold of you, get a strong. What is a stronghold? Something has a stronghold on you. And you really can't think any other. You think there's no way out. There actually is a way out. But you'll get to the place you think there's no way out.
Right.
And that's why people terminate, you know.
Yes.
And I don't know. Yeah. But so we have compassion on those kind of people.
Yes, we do.
I have compassion on those kind of people because I was one years ago, decades ago.
Yeah.
I grew up in a home. I don't know why I'm going this direction this morning, but I grew up in a home with mental torment. I was afraid of one of my relatives because in the home, I never knew when they were going to blow up. And start throwing furniture.
Yeah.
Start throwing punches.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm talking about? And so I didn't like what it was. I didn't know what it was.
Yep.
I didn't like it. I didn't want to be around it. As a kid, it scared me.
Yep.
As I got my mind renewed, I realized what it was. I realized it wasn't them.
Right.
It was the torment in their minds.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we've got to tell this story. This relative of our staff, a couple staff members, He was tormented, but he never really got, he's saved, but he never really got his mind renewed, never really started getting some help in that area. And I believe if you come to church, you ought to have help in every area.
Amen.
I don't believe we ought to live in defeat in any area of our lives.
Come on.
So, but we got to want that, you know.
That's right.
Enough to go for it, get it. But this man never did that, and I'm not trying to condemn him for it. I'm just telling you so you understand this story. So we eventually, one morning, one of the staff members called me and said, it was his brother-in-law that called me. He said, my brother-in-law passed. They found him. Somebody did a, what's the thing where you, a welfare check. Yeah, somebody did a welfare check because they hadn't seen him for a while, some of the neighbors. And they found that he had passed. He had just sitting on the couch, had a heart attack, and passed.
Yeah.
And thank God he was born again, went to heaven. Hallelujah. It beats dying and going to hell, right?
That's right.
There's something better than being tormented, but it does beat dying and going to hell. So he's in heaven, all right. And so we were consoling the family and just ministering to him. Anyway, but this one staff member called me and said, I want to tell you, though, of a dream I had. I said, what was that? He said, in the dream, I saw this. It was his brother-in-law. Let's see here. No, it would have been his uncle. That's what it would have been, his uncle. His uncle. I saw my uncle passing. God, in a dream, showed it to me. I said, well, if you're able to tell me, I'd like to hear about it. He said, oh, that's why I called you. I want to tell you about it. He said, it goes along with the way you preach. I said, well, just shuck the corn then. I want to hear it. So they said, he said, well, in the dream, I saw my uncle. He's sitting in there. I think if I remember, he's watching television or whatever. Doesn't matter. He's sitting there on the couch, and he, you know, seized up, and he just fell over, had a heart attack. And then I saw him, his body fall over, but I saw him, the real man. How many of you know the real man's not the body? The real man's on the inside. And he said, I saw the real man, the spirit man, and the soul goes along with it. I saw them ascend up out of his body. Now, this is in a dream. I saw them ascend up, and whenever he was ascending out, he's going up to heaven. And while he's ascending up, he said, I saw something like at the time, I thought it was just a mask on his face. While he's ascending up, I could see his face, and there was like a mask on his face. And he said, I was watching in the dream, and as he ascended up, he started sort of facing up a little bit. And when he faced up, now this is his inner man. When he faced up, that mask began to fall away.
Yes, yes.
And he said, as the mask. I just thought it was like a mask, or it seemed like a TV. He said on the back of it, it's like a TV screen. And he said he could see images whenever it fell away. He said, I could see images on the TV screen playing.
Yeah.
And he said, as I looked closely, I could see exactly what it was. It was images of all the traumatic things that he had seen in Vietnam.
Yes.
And then after that would play images of all the wrongs that people had did to him since he got back and as an adult. And he said those images were just playing on loop,
yep.
Just playing on loop. But he said as he was ascending up, he said, I could see that mask. He said, I thought it was a mask falling away. And he said, as it fell away, I could see the images and saw what was playing. And then he said, as it fell away, I looked closer and he said, it looked like the thing with the screen or whatever was, or the mask looked like it was moving. And he said, I looked closer, and he said the little thing had arms and legs. He said it was actually not a TV screen. He said it was a demon.
Yeah.
Now, see, that demon was pressing his mind, showing him those things, and those things were giving him a constant imagination of all those things he had seen, and it had formed a stronghold, and it had bound his mind. And that's where the torment came from. He said, whenever I saw the TV screen or the little demon, what it was, falling away, he said, as it fell away, he said, his face lit up.
Hallelujah.
His face was filled up with a big smile because he's free for the first time for, who knows, decades. Free!
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And his face glowed, his face lit up, and he became glorious and radiant and smiling and rejoicing. He's on his way to heaven. Praise God. Aren't you glad that in heaven there'll be no bondage like that? But here's the good news. There's freedom in life down here. There's freedom for our thought life. We don't have to be harassed by past memories, past failures. Your past is worth one thing, forgetting.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Paul said, because Paul killed Christians before he was saved and called into the ministry. He had some things to forget.
Yes, sir.
And you know the devil tried to harass him and say, well, you killed Christian, you did this, you put him in, and you're not worthy to be used of God. This, you know the devil. See, he's the same devil back then as he is today.
Come on.
You know the devil tried to harass his mind. But what did Paul say? He said, I forget those things that are behind. I forget. Praise God.
Yes.
Your past is worth one thing. Forget it.
Just forget it.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's like Brother Hagin used to always say, your past is gone and it ought to be forgotten.
Yes, sir.
But we need to not let the devil form these imaginations and these strongholds.
So good.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's all free. I won't take that off my time. I love this subject. See, I was raised in a home with mental torment, and so I was going that direction.
Yes, sir.
I was going that direction.
Yes, sir.
You can ask my wife. When we first got married, I was going that direction. But I started realizing, because God started working with me, started dealing with me.
And
started realize, he started showing me where it was coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
And showing me how to get a hold of my thought life. Because I'd be going along just fine for a while. And then I didn't realize it at the time. But as the Lord began to show me the word, I got my mind renewed. So I realized what was happening.
Yes,
and this thought would hit my mind.
Yes, sir. Yep.
And it would begin to harass me. I just stew on it for a while. And my whole demeanor would change.
That's right.
My whole attitude would change. I'd become a different person.
Yes, sir.
You hear people talk about, well, so-and-so, you just don't know which version of them is going to show up today. They've got a split personality.
Yeah.
It's not a split personality. It's only one person.
That's right.
But it's one person. Sometimes they themselves, and sometimes they're harassed by something else.
There it is. Yep. Come on.
Tell your neighbor he's preaching better than your amen. Amen. I don't want to be that kind of person where you never know which version of Pastor Jay is going to show up today.
Right. That's right.
I grew up in that.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
See, thank God for deliverance. Thank God for freedom. Hallelujah. And we can replace, God's word can replace those thoughts, imaginations, and strongholds until where we got a stronghold of the truth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And that truth dominates us. And it dominates our approach to everything. You understand? You can take on a negative approach to things because of past failures. And the devil, see, the devil, sometimes people have had situations, maybe divorces or bankruptcies or, you know, traumas of some kind, past experiences. And as much damage as that did, the devil wanted to do more than just, damage their finances or their marriage or something like that. He wanted to scar that person for life. Take divorce, for example. I've met ladies. I'm not trying to pick on the ladies because I'm sure men have been this way too. So I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just talking about experiences I've had. I've met ladies. They inwardly they wanted to get married again. But every time somebody take a little liking to them, they would be afraid. Fear would grip them. Well, you know, I failed before and I'll probably fail again. And so they wouldn't allow themselves to even think about getting married again. That's bondage.
That is bondage.
I said that's bondage. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Probably ought to hear some high-pitched amens on that. Hallelujah. I know a lot of married ladies in here, but praise God. I said praise God. Don't let the past scar you in the present. The past is gone. Amen. Besides that, some of the ladies I'm talking about, I said that was before you got your mind renewed. Now you're different. Now you think right.
That's right.
Don't be bound by your past.
Amen.
Just because you didn't know back then, you didn't have your mind renewed, didn't know the Word of God, and so rather than walk in love, you walked in the flesh and ruined it. Amen. Now you know. Now you got the Word.
Right.
Now it can be glorious.
That's right.
And then I put in another little line because they needed it. This particular one lady I'm thinking of needed it. You know, all men, they're this. And I said, wait a minute. Not all men are that way.
No, they're not.
Just that dud you used to be married to was that way. But not all men are that way.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. All the men said amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord's good. Hallelujah. But Satan wants to harass people's minds. Can you see what the Lord's trying to tell us this morning? He's wanting to harass people's minds. And like Eve here in 2 Corinthians 11:3, he wants to corrupt people's minds.
Yes.
Corruption. You ever seen a computer that got a virus in it?
Yes.
And that virus messed it all up. The programs in it won't work you know, something happened where just the computer itself doesn't work. Well, they'll call it a corrupted file or corrupted hard drive or something like that. And that's what Satan wants to do to your mind.
That's right.
And your emotions.
Yep. Yes. Come on.
Yes, sir.
To where it's corrupted with something that he brought, and now you're not functioning like normal.
Right.
You understand what I'm talking about? Maybe he got something, he got fear in somehow.
Yeah. Right.
Or condemnation in somehow. Amen. And he got it corrupted. And so it's controlling people's actions.
That's right.
It's controlling people's reactions.
Yes.
And they act certain ways, not because that it's reality, but they act certain ways because it's real to them.
Right.
See, that dear precious brother that was in Vietnam, he was reacting to things that really were nothing. All he's reacting to is an image. I said, all he was reacting to was an image. Yeah, that needs to sink in. You remember last Sunday, or two Sundays ago, whenever I was preaching on this, remember we talked about the children of Israel. That they said, whenever God said, go in and possess the land, they sent the 12 spies in. Remember that? 10 of them came back with an evil report and two with a good report. Remember the Bible said the 10 came back and said, we are grasshoppers in their sight. You know, they got giants, walled cities, and iron chariots. We're grasshoppers in their sight. Remember that? And so we were in their sight. They didn't know that. They didn't know that because they're spies. And they didn't interact with the people. You don't go in like, hi, we're from Israel. We're getting ready to invade you in a military campaign. Now, we see ourselves this way. How do you see us? We see you in jail. Come with us, you know. Amen. No, so they didn't have that opportunity. But they said, this is the way they see us. And then they said, this is the way we see ourselves. Now, actually, that wasn't the way that the Canaanites saw them, because we said this 2 weeks ago, it bears repeating, because the Bible said whenever they took that first city, Jericho, that Rahab, remember they went in and spied out the land, and Rahab hid them, you remember, and Rahab said, as soon as we heard God split the Red Sea for you, she said, all of our hearts melted, because we know God's given us into your hands. So they didn't see, the Canaanites didn't see them as greater, more powerful than the Israelites. They saw themselves as defeated already.
Yes, they did.
And that's why Joshua and Caleb came back and said their defense has departed from them. Let me tell you something. The enemy's already been defeated. But he wants to give you an image that he's controlling things and he can keep on dominating you. But the fact is, the devil's been defeated.
Yes, sir.
You need to see him that way.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That insecurity, that's been defeated.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise be to God. You are who he says you are.
Yes.
But he wants to keep playing you videos.
Yep.
Did you get anything out of the word this morning? Well, it went a different direction because I didn't know it was going to go this direction, but it went a completely different direction. Let's end up with this. Let's end up. We got just 5 minutes here. End up with this. Go over with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew. And let's look at the 18th chapter, the 18th verse. Talking about the way we see ourselves and the images that we carry around on the inside. Like I said, something can be imagined to be true, but it's not really true. Amen. I could tell you story after story after story in my life that's where the battle was.
Right.
It wasn't between God and the devil. It was between truth and lies inside of me.
Yes.
What is going to dominate my thought life?
That's right. Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
So here in Matthew 18:18, before we wrap up, let's look at this. Matthew 18:18, it says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now we could read verse 19, goes along with it, but for time's sake, I just want to look at that. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. In other words, heaven will back you up.
Amen.
Notice where it starts, though. It starts on earth. And it starts with me and you.
Yes, it does.
He said, whatever you bind on earth. I'm on earth. Are you on earth?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
So whatever you, in other words, he's saying this has to start with you.
With us.
Now,
right.
I'll back you up in heaven, but it has to start with you. In other words, you don't wait for God to initiate everything that happens in your life. You initiate some things.
Initiate.
That's a good word this morning. Initiate.
Yes.
You need to have the image that you're not waiting on God. That you can initiate some things.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, what is this binding and loosing? Other translations say whatever you allow, whatever you allow or whatever you permit. Or for bind, other translations say whatever you refuse. Whatever you refuse. So whatever you allow or whatever you refuse. Do you know that you have the ability to say yes to some things and no to some things?
Yeah.
That's what that verse is talking about. It's talking about you have the ability to determine your own destiny.
Yes.
You have the ability. Remember blind Bartimaeus? He decided, I'm not going to live blind for the rest of my life. And he decided he's going for his healing.
That's right.
That's a choice he made.
He made the choice.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Glory to
he
God.
Said, I'm not going to allow this anymore.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I'm going to refuse sickness. I'm going to refuse blind. But the devil doesn't want you to see yourself that way.
Right.
He wants you to have an image. You see what we're talking about?
Yes.
An image is that you can't determine destiny.
Yes.
You can't decide how it's going to be in your life. You just have to take whatever's given you. You ever heard, come what may?
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't say come what may. The Bible says come what say.
Come.
Whoever shall say.
Yep.
Yes.
He'll have whatever he says if he doesn't doubt it in his heart. There's been times in my life the devil was screaming at me saying, I told you so. This is the way it's going to go. This is the way it's going to go. And it kept looking like it's going to go that way. And I kept saying, no, it's not. I'm in authority here, not you. And I say.
I say.
I say.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Aren't you glad Lori and Lonnie said something?
Hallelujah.
They determined destiny. Because they saw themselves like the Bible says they are, that they have the authority to say yes to something or no to something. And the devil said, you're going to have to say yes to cancer. And they said, no,
amen.
Cancer is defeated.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Woo, preach myself happy this morning. Preach myself happy this morning. Years ago, because I'm going to wrap this up. I have so much I could say, but I'm just going to tell you another story. And we'll finish with this story. Years ago, you heard, some of you that have listened to Brother Hagin for years, you heard him tell a story about relatives. He knew some a family that he was closer to, he and his family was closer to, and they asked them, the Hagins, to come and minister to one of their sons, I believe it was, who was in the hospital in a coma, and wanted Brother Hagin to come in and minister to him. So Brother Hagin came in, and he went to lay hands on the man in the coma. And as he did, the word of the Lord came to him and said, spiritual laws have been set in motion and cannot be reversed at this time. Anybody remember that story?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
He said, release his spirit and let him come on home.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Well, I've been there where, you know, you want to pray for somebody and the Holy Ghost says, no, you can't do it right now. Because if it's in my life, I have the say in my life. But when it comes to other people's lives, I don't have the say. You realize I have the say in my life. You have the say in your life.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He didn't say, I would have what you say. He said, I'll have what I say.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Yes.
And he didn't say, you'll have what I say. He'll say, right. He said, you'll have what you say.
Yes, sir.
So this man, Brother Hagin went in to minister to him, but Brother Hagin said, the Lord spoke to him, said, spiritual laws have been set in motion, can't be reversed this time. Release the spirit, let him come on home. Well, he did that and came back out, and the relatives asked, well, the man within 3 days passed on, went to heaven. At the memorial service, some of the relatives, I believe his parents, came and said, well, the Lord said something to you in there, didn't he? He said, well, yeah, but I wasn't going to talk about it. You know, at the memorial service, not time to talk about certain things.
Right.
He just wanted to be love on them and, yeah, you know, comfort them, minister to them. But they insisted. They said, no, what did the Lord say? He said, well, I wasn't going to tell you, but I'll tell you since you insist. He said, the Lord said that spiritual laws have been set in motion and can't be reversed at this time. Release the spirit and let him come on home. They said, well, they said, you're exactly right, Brother Hagin. Do you know what that's all about? And Brother Hagin said, well, no. And they said, well, we do. We know what that's all about. And so I was actually, and Brother Hagin, I'll finish that part, and then, but I'm going to tell you my side. Pastor Debbie and I were preaching up in a church. This was 25 years ago. We were preaching in a church in Illinois, and as we got to fellowship with the pastor, come to find out, this pastor was brother to the man that died, that Brother Hagin couldn't minister to because he said, release the spirit, let him come on home. Spiritual laws have been set in motion. So we got the rest of the story like Paul Harvey said. Anybody ever watch Paul Harvey or listen to Paul Harvey? That dates you if you do, if you've listened to him. So, youngins don't know. But so, yeah, Paul Harvey. Every day at lunchtime, Paul Harvey. So I said to this brother, I said, tell me the rest of the story. And he told me what Brother Hagin said, that's exactly how it happened. Brother Hagin said, the Lord said, you know, spiritual law has been set in motion. But the family said to Brother Hagin, and then this brother confirmed it to me. He said, that young man, that he was only 39 years old. That man had said all his teenage years, started in his teenage years, and said all the way up till he was 30, till he went into that coma. He said, he began to say, I'll never live past the age of 40. And the family, this brother that Pastor Debbie and I are preaching for, that told us the rest of the story. He said, we'd be, because they're brothers, you know, just horsing around, goofing off, hitting each other in the face, whatever brothers do. And, you know, having fun, you know, and wrestling, whatever. He said they'd be out doing something, having fun, doing whatever. And he said his brother would get, every now and then he'd just stop and he'd get a serious look on his face. And he'd just look at him right in the eyes, and with a serious look on his face, he said, "You know, I'll never live past the age of 39. And then he'd just go back to doing whatever they were doing. His brother confirmed that's exactly what he did. And at the age of 39, or he said, "I'll never live past the age of 40. Never lived past the age of 40. But at the age of 39, he went into a coma, and he was dead before he was 40 years old. Now, people will see that, and they'll say, "I don't know why God allowed that." He allows what we allow. Did you read it? Matthew 18, 18. Whatever you allow.
Yes. Yes. Come on.
You know you're an authority down here? And you dominate what's good, what direction is going to go with your words?
That's right.
Absolutely the truth.
Yes, sir.
I don't know why God allowed that. He has to allow what we allow because he's given us dominion. He said, "You'll have what you say."
Yes, sir.
Amen. So that's the image. I just wanted to, God put that in my heart earlier. I wanted to get to that part and we'll wrap this up. Yeah. But that the image you need to have, that it, I have a say. I have a say about this. Whatever it's, whichever direction it's trying to go, you have a say of whether it's going to end up that direction or the way the Word says.
Amen.
You have a say. Amen. Say it out loud. I have a say. It's not come what may. It's come what say. In other words, it'll come to pass what you say will come to pass. Hallelujah. And that's where the battle is sometimes. The devil wants you to say something other. Oh, I give up. Just it's too late.
Yep.
No, you keep on saying it.
Right.
You keep saying it. Hold on to that word.
That's right.
And don't allow it to go another, you know, the circumstance to go a different direction.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I did it. I preached myself happy today. Hallelujah. See, can you see then what the Lord was referring to whenever he said to Brother Hagin, spiritual laws have been set in motion.
Yes.
See, what you say is a spiritual law. You're setting a spiritual law in motion.
Yes.
Amen. Don't go around saying, "Jesus, my mind does never have enough money." Well, that's exactly what you're going to have. You're going to never have enough money. You won't hear that coming out of my mouth. I say I have a supply. And every need is met, and God gives me richly all things to enjoy. Praise the Lord. And don't say, just comes up in my spirit, somebody needs this. Don't say, "They just never give me any raises down there on the job."
Come on.
No, say, "I'm highly favored, and he encircles the righteous with favor as a shield."
Amen.
It matters what you say.
Matters.
You can either become rich by what you say or stay broke by what you say.
Right.
You can stay sick. You can stand up with, I think if you stand, it'll help me quit. Praise the Lord. I've been around people sometimes that they almost get inspired to talk about all their sicknesses and all their relatives' sicknesses. And you talk to them about healing and they just get quiet. And then they start talking again about all their sicknesses and all their pains and all their relatives. This person's in the hospital and that person's now out of the hospital, but they're not getting any better. And just keep on going on. They're almost inspired. Now, I'm not talking about God inspired them. I'm talking about the devil keeps bringing thoughts of sickness. And they've gotten sickness on the inside of them.
That's right.
That's all they can ever talk about. See, that's an imagination. That's a stronghold. I don't talk sickness. I talk health.
Come on.
And to be honest with you, I'm as strong or stronger today. I'm 58. I'm as strong or stronger today when I was 30 than I was when I was 35.
Come on.
Because I talk strength.
Praise the Lord.
He's the Lord is the strength of my life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. So it does matter. It's a spiritual law.
Yes.
Somebody said, "I don't know why God allowed that." He didn't. That person set a spiritual law in motion.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. There's a lot more up to us than what we want to admit sometimes. Well, glory. Say, God is good.
God is good.
The Word is good.
The Word is good.
And I receive the Word.
And I receive the Word.
And the Word is my imagination.
And the Word is my imagination.
And it's my stronghold.
And it's my stronghold.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And say this, I have victory. In my thought life, because I cast down the imaginations of the enemy, and I only take my thoughts from God's word. Amen. And if you're only taking thoughts from God's word, that's all you're going to talk is God's word.
Come on. Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. There was I was preaching on some things one day in a church years and years and years ago, and then that was Sunday morning. Sunday night we came back, had a good service, and two ladies, they were single ladies, they roommate together, probably in their 50s at the time, came up to me and they said, "We had a wonderful afternoon, got a wonderful nap." I said, "Praise the Lord." They said, "Do you want to know why?" I said, "No, I don't know why." Because they said, "What you were preaching this morning, it convicted us." We were talking about what they said all the time and complaining, you know, and grumbling. And they said we went home to eat, whatever, and we started talking. They said, "Oh, wait, that we heard the word this morning. That's complaining." And they started talking about something else. Wait, that's complaining too.
Come on.
They said we didn't have anything to talk about, so we went took a nap and got. We said we got a good nap. They said,
"Praise the Lord."
Hallelujah.